Franzen. Five states holding presidential primaries today. Key campaign issues, including the Israel-Hamas war, Ukraine funding, and the migrant crisis are also on voters' minds. Aboard Air Force One, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson refuses to bring up a bill for a vote that includes bipartisan support for border funding.
We got to get that border security deal done. We need to provide DHS with more funding, with more resources to actually deal with the challenges at the border.
Speaker Johnson says the border bill doesn't go far enough. In Miami, former Trump advisor Peter Navarro reported to federal prison today. He'll serve 4 months after being convicted of contempt of Congress for defying a January 6 committee subpoena. Tomorrow marks the first day of spring, but allergy season has already hit due to early blooms. Other parts of the country still dealing with freeze alerts. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Marquette University plans to cut $31 million from its budget over the next 7 years. That's about 7% of its operating budget. Campus officials blame a drop in traditional student enrollment and the growing need for financial aid. They say program offerings, organizational structures, and campus facilities are all on the table. Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein says she's not a spoiler. She aims to get at least 5% of the Wisconsin vote in November, presumably from left-of-center voters.
There's a substantial portion within the Democrats who are looking for something else, but an even bigger demographic are those who refuse to even show up for the Democratic primary.
Stein appeared on WISN-TV's Upfront Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. State officials are working on a new plan to keep internet access affordable for many Wisconsinites. The Affordable Connectivity Program that has helped cut internet prices for many residents is set to end in April due to a lack of funding, so state officials have proposed the Digital Equity Program. A start date for the program has not been announced as it awaits the release of federal funding, but once enacted, it will focus on internet affordability and getting Wisconsinites, particularly in rural areas, more reliable internet access. A Duluth man was arrested after allegedly shooting a gun through his neighbor's door. According to the Duluth Police Department, a 34-year-old man was taken into custody after allegedly firing his shotgun at his neighbor's door while trying to break into their apartment. The incident occurred last Sunday in the area of North 2nd Avenue East and East 6th Street, but wasn't reported to law enforcement until later in the week. Nobody was reported injured during the incident, and authorities have not revealed what led up to it. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But, like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Churio gets the job. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Journal Sentinel says Jackson Churio is expected to start in center field when the Brewers open the season in New York against the Mets next week Thursday. The 20-year-old signed an 8-year deal worth $82 million. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, center field, we've got some great options. Churio, as talented as anybody in that position.
Churio would become the third youngest center fielder ever to start on opening day in the majors in 124 years. NFL, Yash Nyman, no longer a Packer. The 6'7" offensive lineman lost his job at left tackle when Packers coordinator Adam Stenovich had this to say last September.
Yeah, right now he's a backup tackle for us. Football's a very competitive sport, and some guys rise to that competition and some guys don't.
Nyman has signed a 2-year deal with Carolina. College basketball, March Madness begins tonight. With 4 games, over 50 million Americans expected to fill out a bracket. The odds of getting them all right, 1 in 9 quintillion. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Happy first day of spring as we get a little spike in our temperatures temporarily, rising to the mid-40s today. However, winds pulling out of the north become feisty, knocking us down to the single digits tonight and staying below freezing tomorrow under sunny skies. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Really excited, Anya. We've got a spring contest that's going to kick off in our showtime at 3 p.m. today. It's called the Ride into Spring Text to Win. It's going to be statewide contest. You are going to want to text in. We're going to give you the word of the day at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. You want to text in, not on our text line, but using the app. What can you win? Well, some pretty cool things. You will be entered to win one of two grand prizes that include new bikes, outdoor patio furniture, a blender, and more. Everybody could use a new bike, right?
Absolutely. And that new blender, you take a bike ride, go home. You could either make a smoothie for before your bike ride. Or a margarita for your after your bike ride. No, I was going to say before. No, after your bike ride.
Well, you know, bike safely. Maybe one Rita before.
You could have a one Rita. One Rita a bike.
Is there such a thing as like the protein Rita? I don't know. Maybe we should.
Oh, there's got to be
somewhere. Gotta be a protein Rita.
Yeah.
The other wonderful prize that you're going to qualify for, if you text in via the app, we're going to give you the word of the hour at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, is an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. So everybody stay tuned in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll be kicking that off here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Today, we've got a great lineup. I'm going to be joined by my good friends, Reggie and Rob. Rob Henkin's going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour to talk about the MPS funding referendum. Reggie Jackson is also going to join us the bottom of the 3 o'clock hour to talk about Black and brown voters in and around Milwaukee and the state and what we're going to do to help engage and what we can learn from some of the past voter patterns we've seen in 2012 and 2016 and, of course, 2020. Black and brown folks key to Wisconsin's electoral outcome in the presidential election coming up this fall. And speaking of elections, bit of one coming up here on April 2nd. We have had a bunch of callers and texters inquiring and wanting to get some information about these two referendum or referenda, if you want the technical plural, that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. So I thought I'd just jump right in there because it is possible for the state legislature, without the governor's consent, to place referenda on the ballot. And indeed, that's what happened here. Wisconsin's gerrymandered legislature that doesn't reflect the purple nature of our state and the fact that we've got lots of different folks on both sides of the aisles and independents. Again, we've been a purple state forever. We remain a purple state. But a gerrymandered legislature that doesn't reflect the diversity from an electoral perspective, or frankly otherwise, of our state, has basically forced these two referenda onto the April 2nd ballot. And Of course, they got to decide the wording of these things, which is the rub, as it always is. So I wanted to take a moment, invite you all to comment on these. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. But I also wanted to give you my take and an explanation of what these things are, because I don't know about you. If I just read these on the ballot and hadn't done research beforehand, I would be pretty confused. They sound very commonsensical, perhaps even like a good idea.
Yeah. And I think referendums, when I'm in the voting booth, I get down to the referendum part and it's like, oh, I don't even know if I'm reading this right. You shall receive the this if this goes. I don't. So this is a good bit to have, Maggie, because I always get nervous in the booth. I'm like, am I actually voting for what I believe in, or am I misreading this language here?
Which is, I mean, isn't that the problem with the way that these referendum are worded? It shouldn't take a law degree to parse through them. And I hate it when you see a referendum that are worded in this way, because frankly, it's duplicitous. It's a trick. And it's a trick to effectively separate people from voting the way that they would prefer. And if legalese is required in a referendum, because sometimes the way that we enact laws, particularly constitutional amendments, can be legalistic, it should come with an explainer, right? Like, okay, in case you don't happen to have a law degree, here's what this actually means. But I don't know if any state does it that way. I can't think of one. I myself don't feel alone out there. I myself have read certain referenda and been very confused. So that confusion is each and every one of us. It's you. It's probably your neighbors, your friends. And it's been me and Anya on occasion. Anya and I, I'll get my grammar hopefully more or less correct today. But here's the first referenda question that you're going to see on your April 2nd ballot. I'm just going to read it as it will appear on your ballot. Use of private funds in election administration, period. So that's the topic. Shall Section 7, Sub 1 of Article 3 of the Constitution be created, okay, so it's new, be created to provide that private donations and grants may not be applied for, accepted, expended, or used in connection with the conduct of any primary election or referendum? Question mark. So as referendum go, this one, not that bad. Sometimes they're like two paragraphs long. But let's explain exactly what we've got going on here. So they're proposing to create a new constitutional provision. Constitutional provisions, very hard to undo once they're there. So this would basically establish permanent law in the state of Wisconsin. And it will basically prohibit any private donations or other grants from any private organization to be used in connection with the conduct of an election. What do you think? 855-752-4842. No private money in election administration. Seems to have some appeal, does it not?
Well, when you say it like that, Maggie, isn't that the whole rub?
It is. And don't you worry. I'm going to tell you what I think, because it wouldn't be my show if I didn't. We'll get there. But it's not just that referendum. And what's interesting here is that these two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot, because every single one of you is going to go vote, early voting is available and open. We call it absentee voting in Wisconsin. So let's read the second referendum, because there would be some interaction here between the two, and that's what is really important. Each is important on its own, but the interaction of these two things is even more tricky. So let's read the second referendum together. Election officials, period. Okay, so this has to do with election officials. Excellent, we got that punch. Shall Section 7, Sub 2 of Article 3 of the State Constitution be created Okay, so a new provision. Be created to provide that only election officials designated by law may perform tasks in the conduct of primaries, elections, and referendum. Again, a shorter referendum. Sometimes these suckers are paragraphs. And this one very simply says only those designated by law get to help run our elections. Well, what the heck does designated by law mean? And I don't know, it would seem to me to raise a different question, which is, wait a minute, can any Tom, Dick, or Harry just roll into the election administration office on election day and be like, hey, I'm here to administer the elections? And if that were the case, wouldn't we have heard about it before? In other words, isn't it already the case that only if you are legally permitted to be part of the election administration process, so you're a county clerk, you're an elections official, that's part of your job, wouldn't it seem to be the case that that's already the law? I mean, what problem is this solving? Why would Republicans, the gerrymandered, GOP-controlled, not one person, one vote state legislature, think that this is necessary? And what the heck would these two things do together? So no private money, and you actually have to be legally empowered to run elections in order to run elections, which I would have assumed, absent some sort of headline-making scandal, to already be the case. What is it that Republicans are after here? What's going on? What? And listen, we can take a good faith view of this, and we'll do that. We'll engage that analysis. But, you know, if we also put on our cynical hats for a minute, right? Not the tinfoil hat. Though I've been accused of wearing one of those from time to time, Anya.
With hair like that? How?
Perhaps it's to get my hair this color that I put some tinfoils in it. I should put one of those up on the website. Me and all the foils.
Oh, I've received a foil photo. Yes, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
That's not a tinfoil hat. That's a tinfoil peacock almost.
It's a whole... Anyways, no tinfoil hats. If we put on our cynical hats, what might we hypothesize might be going on? And without me saying anything else about the substance of these things, I bet some of the cynics out there could probably give me a pretty good read on what this actually is intended upon doing. And remember, some of the historical context here is, of course, various high-ranking GOP state officials, including one that currently sits on the Wisconsin Elections Commission, saying, hey, it's a victory when we suppress the black and brown vote out of Milwaukee. What possibly could all of this be about? I want to hear your thoughts. I will give you mine after we come back from these quick messages. If you want to get in on this conversation, and I really hope you do, because, man, it's always what do these words really mean that we all got to be attuned to. If you want to get in on this conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. What's hidden under these very innocuous sounding words? When we come back on the Maggie Dawn Show after these important messages in just a few minutes. Keep it locked, everybody.
I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames.
Freedom. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. I used to hold my breath back, now I'm letting go. I make my own choice, bitch, I run this show, so leave the lights on.
It is my show, it's the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. My producer extraordinaire was able to find out during the break that indeed some states do have what are called readability laws. Some limit the number of words that can be in referendums. Some say you can't write a referendum that's above an eighth grade reading level. I wonder, Anya, as you're taking a peek at some of those, do any of them require sort of the common sense explanation?
I'm not seeing common sense explanation. So there's a ton of states that have this from Alabama, Louisiana, Michigan, New York. But a lot of it refers back to things like don't use verbiage only used in certain professions.
Techno-speak,
put things forward in terms of priority. Some of them are even as specific as what needs to be underlined and boldface to make sure that it's clear. But I am, you know, I'm not seeing something that says what you're saying, but they all come back. A lot of them come back to, for example, in Oregon, it says a simple and understandable statement of not more than 25 words. And to use terminology at what they would consider an eighth grade reading level. So, yeah.
Really interesting. I mean, it's out there, right? You would think maybe that might be something to make referendum questions better in the state that our legislators might be interested in. Alas, dear York. Alas, poor York. It is not the case. Jack from Merrimack, what do you think's going on here?
Well, let's just take a hypothetical scenario. I was hoping you'd get to this yesterday. I called in towards the end and was going to say something about it since voting opened today. But it's better now, and it certainly will be fresh in people's minds if they are voting today. In any case, let's just take a scenario where a certain legislature that is totally gerrymandered and has complete control, like two-thirds vote, so the governor can't even veto anything, decides, oh, we're just going to cut back and cut back and cut back on our financing for elections. So now all of a sudden you have a situation where you have, for instance, more time needed to vote. So for example, the voting places aren't open as long, and but there's lines of people waiting to get in to vote. Now it's late. Oh, gee, all those votes are now banned because they're late votes.
Are you getting at the point here, Jack, that you cut funding to run elections? So I'm going to write this down. Cut funding. Then you restrict voting hours. I'm writing this one down. Restrict hours. You refuse to let absentee ballots be counted beforehand, so all the ballots have to be counted all at once in a very limited period of time. All right, so limit counting. And then we start to look at whether or not we have enough personnel to do that in this short amount of time. And if we don't have money and we don't have enough people, and where, perchance, might this be an issue if your party has said out loud that you want fewer black and brown people voting and fewer people from large jurisdictions? How might all of these factors, you cut funding to run elections, you restrict the hours and days that you can vote, you restrict absentee early voting, you refuse to permit absentee ballots to be counted early. Funniest thing, isn't it?
And that's before you harass the workers and send people after them who send death threats.
Death threats.
So you make the job even less appealing
to
someone.
So people quit. Yeah. Jack from Merrimack, I appreciate your call. Keep listening. I think I might see what you're getting at here. Jack from Racine, what do you have to say?
Hello.
Hi.
I wanted to comment on that first referenda that you read. And maybe you mentioned it because I missed a little bit. But remember, in Wisconsin, with COVID going on, with money being cut from municipalities, there's less money to be spent on PPE, whatever, protection, et cetera.
PPE, yep.
That there were volunteer people, yep, PPE. Some people donated money to a number of communities spread out throughout Wisconsin that was needed and was used. So in different ways, and all of it's to make it safer, but also to make it easier for people to vote. And I don't see why anybody should be against making it easier to vote. But
well, you know, unless high turnout's bad for your party, right?
I think a party that depends on that is in the minority probably would like that to happen. Yes.
Yeah.
But the point I wanted to kind of get at with the gerrymandering was, you know, and the history of this was that these referenda were bills. They were Republican bills in the state legislatures, and they were passed by the Republican gerrymandered representatives and then vetoed by the governor. So it's a complete end run, but it's not only an end run. You really have an undemocratic small-D body creating it. And so in their last gasp before maybe gerrymandering is done, they're going to set this in the Constitution forever. Well, okay, you can say they really shouldn't have people, you know, we should depend on the cities, but they're not giving them enough money to run things of this state to begin with. Also, you know, we have places that have begun already around the nation looking for ways to come back with lawsuits so that, let's say, somebody who wasn't sworn in, they helped to move some of the equipment or even had to, you know, pick up boats, and they were city employees and things, and maybe they didn't go through the full swearing-in process. Maybe, let's throw out all those boats.
Yeah, there's a bunch of this stuff going on. I think if we look at this, Jack from Merrimack set it up really well. You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. Why the hell we don't allow people to vote on a Saturday? I mean, crying out loud when the vast majority of people maybe, if they're lucky, have an off day. No, let's do this on a Tuesday because that makes no freaking sense. I've digressed. You limit the counting. You don't let people count the absentee ballots early. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading. Matt, haven't seen you in my call list in a while. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you? Make it quick, friend.
Hello. Yeah, a comment and a question. How do elected electoral officials get their posts currently? And then my view on that second referenda, if the judicial system is in charge of who runs elections, I would assume that whatever party kind of runs that judicial system then has the upper hand in controlling votes and all the things that we're nervous about with the
Yeah, just because I want to get the answer in really quickly. Elections officials in this state are elected and then generally civil servants. So they go through an election process. Some are appointed, but they have a vetting process. They have a civil service selection process, and they all swear oaths. I'm going to revisit this when we come back, so don't anybody go anywhere. If you are on that call list, Matt, I will let you finish your thought. We're going to take the farm update, just a couple of short messages. We're going to get right back into the thick of this because, boy, the words and the details matter, folks, and we will always break it down for each and every one of you here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Stay on the lines if you're there, folks. We'll be back in just a moment.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better.
Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
It is National Agriculture Day, and Wisconsin's got a lot to celebrate. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. We'll explain the numbers behind Wisconsin agriculture next.
Looking to grow new ideas for your farm? Then visit the WPS Farm Show. For 62 years, farmers have been coming to the show for the latest in farm equipment, services, and technology to boost their business. Don't miss this year's show, filled with ideas to help you grow. Mark your calendar for March 26th through the 28th at the EAA Grounds in Oshkosh. For more information and a full list of exhibitors, visit wisconsinpublicservice.com.
Randy Romanski is our Wisconsin Secretary of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And he says, although according to the recent census data, Wisconsin ranks 23rd for the amount of land that we're using in agriculture, but we're really fighting above our weight class when it comes to overall production.
From the recent census of agriculture, the state of Wisconsin is ranked 10th in the United States for total value of production of agriculture and food products. 10th. So if you think about the really geographically large states and the states that you think have a longer growing season or whatever the case might be, some really big ag states, Wisconsin's number 10. So the state and its producers punch above their weight class as far as agriculture production goes. To me, that's a really astounding statistic and another reason that it's great to have a day to celebrate National Ag Day in Wisconsin.
Randy Romanski, he is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and he reminds people one in nine jobs here in the state of Wisconsin relates to agriculture.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compere Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise, a forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Speaking of National Agriculture Day, if you're a teacher or college faculty member, today is the day to enjoy the Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover. They're having a special National Ag Day Educator Open House. Runs from 3 until 5 today. It is free to pre-K through 12th grade teachers and college faculty with a school badger faculty ID. You'll get a chance to learn more about the Exploration Center, their field trips and outreach programs, plus they're serving refreshments. Going 3 until 5 today at the Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover. Happy National Ag Day. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Happy first day of spring as we get a little spike in our temperatures temporarily, rising to the mid-40s today. However, winds pulling out of the north become feisty, knocking us down to the single digits tonight and staying below freezing tomorrow under sunny skies. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
While I shed a tear, it's now the right time. Yeah, yeah.
You're unstoppable, and we are unstoppable together here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We are talking about the two referendas, or two referendum that are together referenda, that you will see on the April 2nd ballot. Text and phone lines are open. Lots of action on this one. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Angie Livas, gosh, I love listening to you. Thank you, Angie. I love hearing from you even more. She also says, and I've heard this from a few folks, don't forget how basically large cities like the city of Milwaukee had their number of polling places restricted. So you ended up having, and still do in some cases, have longer lines. Jeff from Shorewood pointing that out, limiting voting locations, especially in the city. Jim from Appleton texting in, the way I read these referenda, it's all about voter suppression. The first keeps underfunding of election administration locked in. The second prevents a helper from turning in or reading a ballot for someone who is incapacitated or either temporary or permanent. Jim's wife this past February had knee replacement surgery. Very hard for her to turn in her ballot. Remember, we have drop boxes now, can't be used, although that seems to be getting revisited by this court. In addition, Jeff from Shorewood, Maggie, figgity to Jeff from Shorewood, love it. I've been practicing law for 25 years. I got the only not guilty verdict in the tire slashers trial back in 06. I have an average IQ and I pay attention to current affairs. These freaking constitutional amendments always confuse Jeff from Shorewood. I always need people like you to tell me who is pushing them to help me decide how to vote on them. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you listening and your feedback. Everybody, keep the text and commentary coming and feel free to join us. 855-752-4842. Let's summarize. We're talking about the two referenda. The first one basically says there shall be no private donations accepted for the purposes of running election administration. That's going to be a constitutional amendment. It would make that basically permanent law in the state of Wisconsin. The second constitutional amendment referenda question that you will see on your April 2nd ballot, because all of you are going to vote, says the only people who get to work in elections administrations are those, quote, designated by law. We had a question beforehand that said, well, doesn't the judiciary have some role in here? The judiciary doesn't run elections. They really are there to deal with election administration disputes, hopefully before early voting starts. So if there's a dispute, you know, about whether or not drop boxes are legal or not under state law, or whether or not rules promulgated by the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission are correct interpretations of state law, those legal challenges should come before the voting starts so that we all know how to vote. Of course, that's not what the Trump campaign did in 2016, or excuse me, in 2020. They waited until after everybody had voted and then said, oh, well, all these votes you got to throw out because nobody should have done it that way. But that's like changing the rules after the game has been won to come to a game has been played and the other side has won. That's not how we do it. We don't decide the rules after the sporting event. We decide the rules before the sporting event. That's the whole point here. The texter that had texted in, I believe it was Jim from Appleton, inquiring about folks that it is, would this constitutional amendment prohibit folks from assisting others in the actually in the polling booth itself. I'm going to answer all those questions because this stuff is so important. And it's really critical that we understand what is it that Republicans who basically are trying to do an end run around the governor's office by putting these innocuous sounding questions on the April 2nd ballot. If they couldn't get it past the old-fashioned way, you know, small d democracy, why are they doing this? And again, if we all put our cynical hats on, it leads us to look at the facts here, okay? Facts. Funding has been cut for local election administration while one side of the aisle keeps screaming about fair election. elections and election integrity. Well, give the election officials more money to run the things. Republicans have restricted voting hours. They've restricted polling place locations. They've fought drop boxes. Republicans in this gerrymandered GOP-controlled legislature that doesn't reflect the fact that we've got a plurality of voters in the state of Wisconsin, they refuse to allow absentee ballots to be counted early. So you got this tiny little space and time, fewer voting places, longer lines in bigger jurisdictions. And then, of course, you have the GOP screaming about, well, why the hell don't they have the votes counted? Well, any votes that come in or the counts that take longer, well, those are all suspect. Funny that that happens in, you know, districts like Detroit that are huge, Milwaukee, the big urban centers. And of course, you have a GOP election official that sits on the Wisconsin Election Commission saying, yeah, I'm real proud because we got fewer black and brown people to turn out, which has historically been said an alarming number of times by Republican leadership, not just in this state, but across the country. Bob from Madison, what say you?
Well, it's just crazy the way there's a Republican-Democratic split on global warming when it seems like it's more obvious than ever that global warming is going on. It's about 14 days early for the green sprouts in my backyard, and it was a week early for the cranes to show up at the Arboretum, and stuff like that. And last year, February, or this year, February, it was not snow-covered. It was snow-covered in January. It's just so much warmer now.
Yeah, Republicans don't want to tell the truth about elections, don't want to tell the truth about climate. Couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, I'm seeing sprouts earlier and earlier every year, Bob. Couldn't agree with you more. Lori, an election worker from Middleton, what do you have to say?
Yes, I'm an election worker for the city of Madison. And the first one, referendum about the funding, Madison just got a couple grants that wouldn't be allowable if this passes. They got several grants to make the elections run smoother, machines to stamp the absentee ballots, and some machines to some storage containers that are locked up to make it easier to haul stuff back and forth to the polls. And the city attorney doesn't even know what some of this stuff means from what I've heard, you know, at the city clerk's office.
Yikes, Lori. Here's what I'm going to say with all due respect to the Madison city attorney. You better figure it out and be clear about it. I used to be a top public lawyer. I didn't mince any words when I broke this stuff down. Don't worry. I will explain to all of you exactly what I think about these two referendums before this hour is out. Again, you know, we're putting down the breadcrumbs here, folks. What do you think the purpose is? If you just assume good, it's going to, no private money, sure, sounds good. Only those designated by law, sure, sounds good. But what if it's not exactly in good faith, given the source? I used to be of the mindset where I would extend a presumption of good intent to almost everybody. No exceptions. Because we all want the same thing. We want a good, fair election. We want people that are citizens to be able to vote. But as our colleague here on the Civic Media Network, Todd Alba, has said repeatedly on his show, which you can hear every day from 12 to noon right before mine, he left the Republican Party because when he was in a closed Wisconsin Republican caucus room, they started saying what all of us were observing, which was, oh, no, we don't want more people to vote that are qualified to vote, that are citizens to vote. We want fewer people to vote. We want to suppress the vote. That's what, if we take them at their word, fewer black and brown people suppressing the vote, then what by golly, might these very innocuous sounding referenda actually be about? Might it be suppressing the vote, making it harder to vote, maybe making it harder to count the votes, as Lori, an election worker from Middleton, is pointing out? Kurt from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dunn Show. What do you have to say?
Good afternoon, Maggie. I think the things that you pointed out has been said, and I think the singular word is transparency, and how I would make steps to make sure that happens is that anytime they want to make changes, that it has to be put into all the media channels, TV, radio, newsprint, and then they have to put together a video station at the polling booth so that anybody that is looking to have an understanding of what they're trying to do, that it has to be explained in full detail.
Yeah.
Make them jump through the hoops. Don't let them run roughshod. And we have to start really fighting back. I mean, whatever it takes, short of illegal.
Yeah, short of illegal and not violent, right? Let's make that our distinction. We will not oppose our political opponents by any means necessary. We will do so legally, constitutionally, and peacefully. Thank you so much, Kurt. I couldn't agree with you more. This stuff matters. It matters a lot. These two referendums are wolves in sheep's clothing. Designed to confuse, designed to sound commonsensical. But all of these things can only ever be understood in their proper context. And the context here tells you exactly what the intention is. And the intention isn't better run elections, faster vote counts, so that people have increased confidence in elections. The intention here isn't properly funded elections. The ability of elections officials in every jurisdiction, including our largest jurisdictions, to be able to hire more elections administrators, quote, designated by law. The context here tells us that when the GOP gerrymandered beyond all common sense and good faith in the state of Wisconsin couldn't pass these restrictions, because that's what they are. They're prohibitions that they want to write into the Constitution. When they couldn't pass these restrictions through normal legislative processes, because the will of the totality of Wisconsin voters was to have a Democratic governor, not once, but twice. They're trying to trick you into adopting these referendum now. What a conservative will tell you about the first one was Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, who are these terrible, crazy libs, donated money in the 2020 election. They didn't donate money to a political party to have a political party run the elections. They donated money that went to Waukesha County and rural counties, as well as Milwaukee and Dane counties and Racine and Kenosha. So that elections officials, in the midst of the pandemic, before vaccines were available for the general public, could safely conduct elections because Republicans refused to appropriately fund election administration. Oh, big bad Mark Zuckerberg gave money to Waukesha County to help run their elections. Walworth County, rural. Oh, my God. What? If Republicans want us to restrict and forbid forever in Wisconsin private donations to help election administration by nonpartisan election officials, then I say to Republicans, fund our elections. You want safe elections. You want transparent elections. You want votes counted by 10 p.m. Fund our damn elections, Republicans. Otherwise, shut your damn mouth, because what you're saying is a bunch of baloney designed to confuse and mislead, and I won't have it, and neither should any of you. I'll talk about the second referendum more when we come back. Keep it locked. You won't want to miss it.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. We're talking about the two referenda that you will see on your April 2nd ballot, designed to mislead, designed to make sound reasonable what is unreasonable. The first one says there shall never be any private donations accepted, regardless of source, to help run elections ever again in the state of Wisconsin. The second one says only people designated by law may be involved in election administration. As to the first, while that sounds certainly innocuous and like perhaps a good idea, why doesn't the Republican gerrymandered to all get out legislature in the state of Wisconsin put in a constitutional amendment that says Wisconsin shall reasonably fund all election administration on some sort of population-derived basis? If you don't want private money, then write into the Constitution, no private money, and we shall adequately fund and define adequately on some population-based calculation. Why don't they want to do that? Because the Republicans don't want more people who are appropriately qualified citizens to vote. They don't. They want you to stay at home. And if you do go to the voting booth, they want you to vote yes on these referendum so that they can suppress more votes. If you don't want private money in elections, Republicans, then fund elections. You don't. Instead, you restrict hours. You don't let elections officials hire sufficient staff because they don't have the budget for it. You jimmy with the shared revenue formulas so that local governments are starving. You restrict hours that people can vote. You restrict polling locations. You intimidate voting and election administration officials. You call for Megan Wolf's head on a platter. You vilify those that are trying to ensure our democracy functions capably. You have Rudy Giuliani attack Ruby Freeman and another elections worker so that they receive death threats so that they have to move. And Rudy Giuliani doubles down on it. You have GOP leaders throughout the last 20 years saying we want fewer black and brown people voting. All of this is to trick you into thinking it is about election integrity when it has never been about that, because our elections in this state and nationwide run well and run smoothly. And they won't let anybody in the state of Wisconsin start counting absentee ballots before voting day. And then they scream that the vote counts aren't in in Milwaukee. Well, it must be fraud. No, you dummies. You've set up a system so that you can make lies and fabrications sound plausible to people that don't know that it's you that created the system that people that you are now claiming doesn't work so well. It is so deceitful. I'm a no on referendum one. I'm a no on referendum question two. Because guess what? I have no damn idea what designated law by law means. I'm sorry. Was there some great controversy or scandal where bunches of people who weren't properly authorized to conduct elections were? No, that's made up nonsense. If you don't believe me, how about this? An analysis by the legislature's nonpartisan attorneys said that they didn't know what the impact of adding this language to the Constitution would be. It's their own damn lawyers. They made clear state law already says that only appointed election officials can conduct elections. So state law already says this. What's the point of this? And nobody knows, their own lawyers don't know what the language designated by law means? Let me get this straight. So that means that after the election, like Donald Trump and his campaign did in 2020, you're going to claim that the people that are hired on a temporary basis because you underfund election administration in our largest jurisdictions that they weren't properly designated by law. I bet that's what's going to happen. Ha! Seems like my crystal ball is working pretty well today, Anya.
You've got to shine it up. I mean, you've been using it a lot. Oh, there, now it looks nice and clear.
Oh, yeah. I can see the lawsuits already. Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee have been alleged in a lawsuit brought by the Trump administration after a drubbing in the 2024 election that scores of temporary election workers were not, quote, designated by law because the gerrymandered GOP in bad faith convinced a bunch of well-meaning Wisconsin voters to adopt this poorly worded referendum that isn't required under state law to trump up a basis, pun intended, to trump up a basis for a meaningless lawsuit to throw more gasoline on the fire that is the lie upon lie upon lie about our elections. I'm a no on both of these referendum. Don't be tricked by them. Don't you be tricked. Don't let your neighbors or friends be tricked. This is all about voter suppression, folks. Because if it was actually about getting the votes counted and making sure that they're counted by, say, midnight or even 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, then the gerrymandered GOP-controlled state legislature that doesn't reflect the general will of Wisconsinites would better fund local elections. That's it. Period. And how dare you put a constitutional amendment referendum question on a ballot when your own damn nonpartisan legislature attorneys don't even know what the thing means? What kind of a bad faith actor does that? What kind of a snake oil salesman does it? They don't even know it. The lawyers don't even know what it means. So to the callers and texters that said, I'm worried that people wouldn't be able to receive assistance when they're in a polling booth if they have a disability or have trouble reading, that's clearly legal that you can receive assistance. And it doesn't even have to be from an election worker. It could just be a friend of yours that you met in line can help you understand. Or if you have Parkinson's disease and you can't quite hold the pencil. Yeah, who knows? Because Republicans will sue about it, you know, after the election, not before. There's only one group of cheaters about elections in these countries. And it ain't Joe Biden and it ain't Democrats. It's the guy who says, if I don't win, there'll never be election again. That's Donald Trump and Republicans. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Rob Henkin, executive director of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, who's going to break down the other critical referendum on the April 2nd ballot, the MPS funding referendum. You're not going to go anywhere. And our big contest coming up next at the top of the hour. News, weather, and sports up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You've been listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Back with more in just a few.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates for the Peter Navarro Goes to Prison edition. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Listen to the Devil's Advocates 4 to 6.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas. Through the whole premiere, his biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Two top military leaders who oversaw the U.S. withdrawal of Afghanistan in 2021 testified at a